Seven players found new homes on the penultimate day of the trade period, but we're still waiting on Bradley Hill, Joe Danaher and Tom Papley. Welcome to Trading Day. David King, as always, Lee Montagna and John Ralph, you've got the news of the day.
St Kilda is on the brink of a watershed trade period as Dougal Howard and Paddy Ryder got to Moorabbin. Brad Hill is in the offing. Hugh Greenwood and Sam Jacobs got to their various destinations for late picks from the Crows. And John Patton gets to Hawthorn finally for a future fourth rounder. Deja vu for the Hawks after Tom Scully last year.
We're going to get into all those trades in just a few moments' time, but Brad Hill is the big one today and it hasn't been done yet. Where's that at?
It will get done tomorrow. The trade scenario we talked about last night got done today. So St Kilda trades in Dougal Howard and Ryder, gets 10 back, and they want to give not a future first rounder next year, but 10, a future second rounder, and Blake Akers. Now, Akers right now, he's on his way to Perth to consider his options. We talked about him 2 days ago. St Kilda had thrown him up. Freo weren't interested, but he could be the sweetener that gets this deal done. I expect St Kilda to get all of those players that they've been searching for a couple of weeks.
And Blake Akers wasn't initially interested either. He wanted to stay in Melbourne. But when a club offers you up like this, Joey and Kingy, you'd expect that you'd have to think pretty heavily about it.
Well, I think you do. I think you've got to weigh up your options. And obviously, if he's been on the table, he's a Perth boy. He's from Western Australia. And I don't mind this. I rate Blake Akers. I'm not sure what you think, Kingy, but I think he's got a high ceiling. He's got a lot of upside. He's a really good athlete, great runner, great size, can win his own football. At times, he's been a little bit inconsistent, but I think that's probably more to do with just finding his niche and a real role at St Kilda. He couldn't really get stuck into the midfield because of the likes of Seb Ross and Jack Steele and Luke Dunstan, etc. But I think maybe at Domain Stadium in Perth on a wing, I think you could see the best of Blake Akers. He's an elite runner, and as I said, he's a great size, and I think it could be a win for everyone.
75 games in 6 years. He needs another opportunity. He needs a fresh start, doesn't he? Could be the classic second club player that just comes good with a bit more trust, a bit more confidence. He looks to me like a player who doesn't feel like he really belongs at AFL level. So maybe a new environment is great for him. I think this has been awesome work by St Kilda. James Gallagher's done a fantastic job. I mean, we'll talk tomorrow night about the 3-2-1 in terms of the list managers, but this has been a steal, really.
Yeah, so I think if Jack Martin has been the number one tease in the AFL, well, this bloke in Blake Akers is on the podium. And for that reason, only 2 Brownlow votes in those 75 games. If you're a St Kilda fan, you think, I just don't think we're ever going to see the best of him. He might well flourish at another football club, but this is one of the great trade periods we've seen in a decade. You know, James Gallagher comes in, first-year list manager. You know, Dougal Howard for a decade, Jones and Hill as A-graders, they'll get Ryder and Butler as well. It is an exceptional trade period.
So let's talk about Dougal Howard and let's talk about Paddy Ryder coming into the club. But let's not forget as well that Simon Lethlean bought James Gallagher into the club and so far it's been pretty successful. But what do you make of this trade with Dougal Howard and Paddy Ryder today, Joey?
Oh, I think it's a great win for St Kilda. I mean, Dougal Howard, the 200-centimetre, athletic intercept defender, probably what St Kilda really need. Nathan Brown's getting, late in his career. Jake Carlisle also. I think it's a great get. And really, and King, you can probably explain the mechanics a bit more, they haven't given up a great deal to get these players. So, as I said, I think Gallagher and Simon Lethlean have done a great job.
Well, they've got Howard and Ryder effectively going back 4 picks from pick 6 to pick 10 in a future second rounder, which is in a weak pool next year. We know 2020 is going to be a heavily compromised draft. And maybe the numbers don't really equate at this stage as to what the talent you're going to get.
So why has Port Adelaide done it then? What's in it for Port?
Well, I think that they satisfy the players, one. I think that if you haven't got a role for Dougal Howard, we're talking about Dougal Howard, who has potential to be an All-Australian type player, but they don't see him having a function in their back line at the moment. So they've just tipped him out and got a high-quality pick back. I think that's smart. I think Paddy Ryder is not their first choice anymore. He's probably not even their second choice.
No, he's probably third stringer behind Laddams and Lycett. And really, Dougal Howard, I mean, they are getting a top 20 pick, essentially, Port Adelaide, for a player that, as Kingy said, they couldn't really find a role for in their best back line.
So it means that their back line needs to fire. So whether it's Jack Watts plays as well, we know that Tom Jonas is the centrepiece there.
They've got Jonas, Cleary, Ryan Burton. Hartlett came back towards the end of the year, Byrne Jones. So they do sort of have a fair few half-backers already there.
You get a first-rounder for a bloke who wasn't playing your side in round 23. Even though he's 23, has captained them, that's a good deal.
Let's be honest, they have to shake up this group too. I mean, they have to get past this mediocrity that they've delivered for the last 3 to 4 years. Yeah. They really need to jump into the eight. It's a big year for Ken Hinckley. We've said that a number of times this week. And I think if you're standing still in trade week, you're almost certainly going backwards as a club. So I like the fact that they're involved. Some people might not like what they've got back in return, but I think they've done really well.
And just quickly, those picks around 12 and 18, that's where they got those players like Butters and obviously Dersmer as well. We know that Connor Rosie was pick 5, but they're great picks for a club that's shown they can do that well.
And in a draft that's besides the top probably four or five, it's a relatively even draft. So they might think they can still get the players at 12 and 18 that they could have got at 10 anyway. So for Port Adelaide, their list managers, they might still think that this is a win.
That's if they hold on to 12 and 18. They've probably got another 3 or 4 weeks to trade those selections out as well, as per the new rules. Jonathan Patton, speaking of draft picks, he's gone out the door for a fourth round selection, the same as Tom Scully last year. Talk us through the thinking behind this, Ralphie.
So the salary cap issue is just absolutely significant for GWS. So I think eventually they will sign up the likes of Lockie Whitfield and they'll sign up Jeremy Cameron and they'll say, we did it with the money that we would have had to pay for John Patton. Now, is it $600,000 or $700,000 or $800,000? What we know is it was a heavily back-ended deal. He kicked 45 goals 2 years ago. Remember 15 years ago when they traded out Hay, Rawlings, Trent Coad for overs? Won 4 flags with those stars that they recruited. I reckon this is the same. So you get Scully for a future fourth, you get this bloke for a future fourth, Jack Scrimshaw, which they traded from a third down to a fourth. It was a slight of 10 picks. You know, it's a different way of doing it, but they're blokes that they would all believe can play in their next premiership side.
Big bodies are hard to find. I mean, we've talked about Joe Danaher a lot this week. They're hard to replace once you lose them and they're hard to find. They've got in for an absolute steal, the Hawks. I don't know how they continue to get away with what they do. But, I mean, in mid-2017, this guy kicked 22 goals in a 7-week burst that was absolutely sensational. He's going to be a great quality target for them in that forward line for the Hawks that they've probably lacked for... I mean, Mitch Lewis is coming along, but they probably haven't had that key target for a number of years. So I think it's been a great coup for the Hawks again.
We'll talk about Joe Danaher later. But I spoke to Robbie D'Orazio, who's John Patton's manager. He said Graham Wright came early. So they've known from right at the start of the year why it was the right trade. And he has known for the whole year that he's going to move on. It's not a trade that's happened in the last couple of weeks. And so I know it's a different scenario, but Hawthorn get their players and they get them early.
And that's why the Hawks are so good. And it's a high-risk, high-reward with this forward line now for the Hawks. Yeah. I mean, Mitch Lewis and John Patton, at their best, could be anything. They could also maybe not work out, as we hope. But they're going to be a must-watch. And with Clarko at the helm, it's going to be interesting to see how the Hawks, that forward line functions next season.
Let's evaluate this trade then. So Hawthorn first. We're all giving it a thumbs up, it appears, which is understandable, given they've got a former number one pick into their club. GWS, thumbs up or thumbs down?
Thumbs up for me.
I'm going thumbs down.
Well, please explain.
Well, I'm explaining it this way, because they've given away Tom Scully for nothing last year, and they're giving away Jonathan Patton for effectively nothing again this year. Now, I'm not saying it's a disastrous trade for them, but I think it's closer to thumbs down than thumbs up. They can't continue to give away these players and not get anything in return. Now, they've got some benefit from it. They're going to release some salary cap pressure. He's been injured. I understand that. But I don't think they can continue to give up players for future fourth-round picks they might not even use.
But that's okay. I think it's all for strategy. I mean, as you said, they've just given up over $1 million in the last 2 years to now re-sign Lockie Whitfield and Jeremy Cameron. So I understand if you're looking at it just as a pure one-for-one trade, a fourth-round pick, but this is a bigger picture. This is about keeping this group that have just played in the grand final that I think now are really set to have a 3 or 4 year window of having a crack at a flag. I think they've done the right thing. They had no choice. And if they try and haggle with Hawthorn over a second-round pick, the deal might fall through and all of a sudden you've got to pay a bloke that's not in your best team $600,000.
Look what's happening at Collingwood. The squeeze is on and they're going to lose a quality player. So they're avoiding this.
So Patton's part of this squeeze, I understand that. But why couldn't they get pick 40 for him?
Because they might not even use that one.
Yeah,
I mean, they dumped $2.5 million of salary cap last year. Shiel and Lobb and, Scully himself. They played in the grand final. Yep. So I know it's a different strategy, but King, you're big on this. You dump cap space or you absorb it for future picks. I think the cap is as important as picks for a lot of clubs these days.
In the end, it squeezes out a quality player. So they're seeing Patton as he wants to leave. He gives them that $600,000 or more back into the salary cap. I think it's smart. It's ahead of time. Maybe not everyone agrees with it, but their forward line functioned quite well this year. This may allow them to hang on to Jeremy Cameron. And if they lose Cameron, it's a disaster.
I understand
that. This is why.
And this could be interesting to watch how Collingwood go about it. And if they can't offload anyone in this trade period or at the end of this year, what if they do lose a Brody Grundy or a DeGoey or a Moore because they didn't trade out a Mason Cox or a Tom Phillips or someone that they could relieve some cap space? You know, maybe the Giants are doing it the right way and the other clubs.
You've almost convinced me. If that's thumbs up and that's thumbs down, I'm about 8 o'clock. I'm just thumbs down.
I'm not sitting on the fence.
I'm thumbs down. I'm moving on because I think I've won this debate. No. We're talking about North and the Demons and their pick swap, Joey, which was an intriguing one. It leads me into the Moneyball call for you. But let's talk about the pick swap in the first place. Ralphie, what's behind this?
That's right. So, effectively, North Melbourne did not have a first-round pick. They've moved it on. They get Melbourne's first-round pick next year. They'll be death-riding them, just desperately hopeful that they struggle. But they get 26 and 50 back this year. So, they've got 27 as well. They might even be able to drag 26 and 27 earlier. If you're a North Melbourne fan, the only issue is pick 8, Tarryn Thomas this year. and you've done nothing else. But what they're saying is that we really believe that next year's draft is even, and, you know, this is just too good an opportunity to pass up. The fascinating thing will be what Melbourne does with 3 or 8. A lot of list managers are saying, watch this space in the next 24 hours.
Well, that leads to my money ball, segue, Tom, because now that Melbourne have got pick 3 and pick 8 in this draft, do they have one play left up their sleeve? We know they've gone and got Adam Tomlinson and Ed Langdon. They've addressed their issues with the outside run and a bit of their structure. Is this now the chance to maybe try and steal Tom Papley from the Sydney Swans? We know Carlton are offering up pick 9. We know that he wants to come to Melbourne. Apparently he's not happy in Sydney. That deal hasn't been done yet. Can Melbourne go to the table? Because, Kingy, you'd know more. The last issue that Melbourne need to address is their forward 50 ground ball. They were very ordinary in that area last year. If they could score a player like Tom Papley, I know pick 8 for me is overs.
I was going to say.
It is, absolutely. Yeah. But if they get a player they want, they could walk away from this trade period, and we're speaking about how well the Saints have gone, they could walk away addressing their outside run and a creative, dangerous small forward. That could set them up for a quick rise up the ladder.
You said he last week.
I disagree. Yeah, I think pick 8 will be over. Eight. I think it's overs. But if that's what Melbourne... Are Melbourne trying to play at something like that?
Well, they had a crack at Jamie Elliott. They missed out on him. They're setting up to address their needs in the draft.
Would you give pick 8 for Tom Papley?
Absolutely. Yeah, I was big on
I think it's overs. But if that's what they want to try and do with it, why else are they trying to get 8? Do they want 2 kids in this year's draft? Or they're a team that have got players in that right age bracket between 22 and 25. You never know.
Or are they just saying that this draft is far stronger than 2020's pool and bring that pick forward? Get a higher quality player this year at a higher pick. And then
wouldn't the Kangaroos see that?
Bank that extra year of development. Maybe the Kangaroos see it differently. I'm not sure. Maybe they just think Melbourne are going to have a stinker of a year and
because
finish
what would
in
it
the
mean?
Bottom
So what would it mean next year for the Kangaroos? So if Melbourne finished first or last?
If they finished first, it'll be pick 19.
Yep.
If they finished last, it'll be pick 1. I mean, that'd be...
So the Kangaroos are just barracking for Melbourne next year to lose...
It's a bit like Liam Stocker, isn't it? Yeah, Adelaide and Carlton.
Yep. And so what they're saying is even if Melbourne wins the flag, North Melbourne would be ahead on points. But, I mean, we can all argue points different ways. What about pick 3? You know, do Melbourne need another midfielder? Do they just say, righto, pick 3 is available for the next 24 hours till 7:30 tomorrow. What do you got for us?
And beyond that, remember, towards the draft.
Who's available for pick 3, do you think? Who's out there that they can possibly look?
Well, there's the Crouch brothers, who we'll talk about a little bit later. I don't think there's an available player out there, but, I mean, anyone that wants pick 3, if it's Hayden Young or Caleb Sarong or any of these players...
Their midfield needs something different, Melbourne. Yeah. I mean, they're one-paced in there. They have been for a couple of seasons. I know they were tough in 2018, the best contested ball side we'd seen for a little while, but I think they need speed rather than a ball-winning mid. They've got enough of those.
Hugh Greenwood, he's a Gold Coast Sun, officially, as of today, a 4-year deal, Ralphie.
Yeah, that's right. So it might have been 3 with a clause for 4, anyway, it should be 4. I only offered 2 by Adelaide for a future 3rd and 4th. This bloke's a triple threat. So 2018, 145 tackles, 16 goals, 98 clearances. We all know that he was in and out of the side this year. He was desperate for security, given his basketball background, has not made a lot of money in football. But, guys, you know, if you think that maybe Brand Ellis is not a tough player, this bloke, fantastic.
A goal kicker too. That's what I like about him. 51 games, 36 goals. They're hard to find. They're hard to find guys who can drift forward. They can play genuine midfield minutes in the clinches. Great clearance and contested ball player. But go forward and take marks like that. I mean, they are hard to find. He's something different, Joey. I know he doesn't get massive numbers. He's more damage than accumulation. I like this. I really like this from the Suns.
Sam Jacobs as well, and the fire sale at Adelaide continues, and this deal was done to the Giants.
Yeah, LA pick, and he'll get a multi-year deal. So I suppose the intriguing element there is whether they can play these two mature-aged ruckmen, whether Shane Mumford is pushed to the knee, which should be OK by him, because he's been a massively durable player until this year's knee injury. He averages 20-plus games. It's a smart moneyball decision.
It is a moneyball call. I know, Kingy, you have a different view on it, but I think with the GWS list, they can't afford to pay big money for every type of player. I think they've sacrificed the ruck. They just feel they need a competitive ruckman who can bring the ball to ground and be physical, and their midfield will do the rest. So, look, I don't mind it. And what I do like, Tom, the combination now of Mumford and Jacobs, it's now sausage and sauce.
Joke, by the way.
Thank you.
I actually think they could have been more aggressive in going after someone like a Todd Goldstein. Give up a pick of significance.
He was a free agent too.
And go marquee.
How can they pay him? How could they pay Goldstein?
Elevate the pick, elevate the trade, and get the Kangaroos to subsidise some of the finance. So there was an opportunity to do that, and they have fallen back to an older ruckman. It's just got risk written on it for me.
All right, let's whip through these two. Billy Frampton and Darcy Cameron have both moved clubs as well.
That's right. Billy Frampton, future fourth rounder, stuck behind Lysette and also Laddams. So second player there. Darcy Cameron, yeah. So effectively, you know, a swap of 52 and 54, nothing. Yeah. That's ruck back up, of course, there, and potentially might be able to play forward, but hasn't done that yet in the NEAFL.
Adelaide has a new coach, yes. And Matthew Nix was unveiled today. Good move by the Crows. You like this with a day to go in the trade period?
I do. I love it. I think he's a ripper. He knows his footy. We've known about Matty for a while. He's been in the back blocks a little bit, hasn't he? A name that sort of loomed large late. But I think the way he spoke today was absolutely first class. He's getting on board with the players first.
Well, let's have a listen to what he had to say today at his press conference at the Adelaide Crows.
You want to keep good people, you want to keep good players around the organisation. So I had a chat to Brad about an hour ago and to Matt. Look, we'll be doing our best to keep him here, and part of that is us is getting the right culture or continuing to improve our culture to get where we need to keep him on board.
That's Matthew Nix talking about Brad Crouch. Do we expect he's absolutely going to stay at the Crows after what Matthew Nix said today?
I spoke to his manager yesterday, Gary Winter. He said that, yeah, he won't be signing a new contract, but he's very happy to stay at the football club. And, look, I think he's going to try and maximise his worth next year, and he's absolutely allowed to do as a free agent.
This is the exodus. Josh Jenkins still intrigues me. Cam Ellis-Yolman, we know, has gone to Brisbane. Betts yesterday and Greenwood and Keith, we're going to talk about them later on.
Does Matthew Nix get on the phone to maybe Josh Jenkins and Alex Keith and say, look, we might want to keep you, or does he have to trust the list management's decisions that they've made without a coach in place?
What do you think?
Well, probably the thing they've got to stick... I think Matthew Nix would probably stick to the plan that the club have had. I don't think he can necessarily overrule unless he feels really strongly about one of those players. Do you think that's fair, Kingy?
Yeah, and he spoke about the way they want to play, and he's going to sit down with the
captains, the
senior core leadership group, and just say, okay, what best suits this group? And I think that's the starting point. Not necessarily who they've got on the list right now. I don't think that's a priority. It's maximising what's there, getting to know the players. He would have no idea of some of the challenges those guys have gone through individually. So get to know them first and then get them as better footballers in 2020.
And certainly you're going to play Tex Walker in your forward line, and you'd love to play JJ, but let's face it, Fogarty's the future. He came in late and he showed us what he's got. You just got to play for 22 games next year.
Do we still think there's no interest in Josh Jenkins? Is it going to come late? 24 hours to go. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Paul Connors is on the phone, hitting the phone there, really trying to get answers and trying to get some options there. But I think right now there don't seem to be any, but someone might miss out on the trade request and might do it, but it's looking less than 50-50.
We need to get some answers on Zach Jones, Josh Bruce, Alex Keith, and also pick 13, which the Dogs are refusing to give up right after this. Welcome back to Trading Day. The Joe Danaher situation continues to bubble along. Well, does it continue to bubble along with 26 hours to go? We still don't know whether it's going to be done, Ralphie.
If I'm Nigel Carmody, who, of course, is Joe Danaher's manager, I'm calling in Mick Gatto, because this is the only bloke who's going to get this deal done, the master negotiator, the master of the dark arts. I tell you what, we can joke about it, because that's all there is time to do, because I don't think there's any real meaningful discussions there. You know, as late as last Friday, we talked about the Essendon just shutting it down. Now, unless a player of the ilk of Isaac Heaney or Tom McCartan gets thrown in, I don't think there's real progress on this deal right now.
So the Sydney Swans are in it up to their eyeballs, aren't they? Because they're the ones who've committed to taking him. They're not going to walk away from this deal. Doesn't mean they're going to ask for more. But the Essendon Footy Club is the one that's going to have to walk away at the end and say, no, we're going to keep hold of Danaher. There's a real likelihood that could happen at 7 o'clock tomorrow night.
We don't know, do we? The bottom line is no one knows how this
going to finish. We don't know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, so, and absolutely right now, 5 and 9 is not an offer that is attracted to Essendon. And right now, they've only been offered something like 5 and 25, according to Matthew Lloyd. So, right, you know, they would need to be quite close together. And right now, they're a mile apart.
So, Sydney aren't going to blink and offer up a player. Oh, you wouldn't think, would you? Mm. I can't see them giving up one of their young guns.
It's very late in the piece to offer up a player. We've seen Blake Akers
exactly
now.
Right. You've got to go through medicals. They've got to meet the other club. So, really, that's going to leave it very late if it's going to be a player involved. And as you said, the draft picks sounds like isn't enough for Essendon to want to do a deal.
I don't think someone like Sam Reed might be thrown into the equation, but I think we all feel like, Brown and McKernan are pretty similar players.
Yeah, but if that's the case, even a Sam Reed, he'd have to fly to Melbourne, meet Essendon, get a medical.
Agree to it.
Oh, there's a lot to play. So it seems to me that it's unlikely this could get done.
And it's much better to have a couple of awkward days with Joe Danaher than if you're Essendon to actually get this deal done for something that you think takes you out of the premiership window.
It's not the couple of awkward days. It's the fact that you could lose him for nothing at the end of next year. That's the discussion, isn't it?
But if you think that the Grinch is hard line, then he's hard line enough to say, I'm going to match a bid if he leaves next year. Sydney, you already haven't given us great picks. You can trade for him next year.
Kingy, your King's call.
Well, mine's on the back of... We're talking about both Jonathan Patton and Joe Danaher. Are we at a stage now where we're going to see players basically pull the pin with a month to go in the season to protect the body, to warehouse themselves for that next big deal? Could Joe do it next year? Could he sit out from... Yeah, we saw the GWS Giants go on a run to the grand final. So if you're going to pull out on any season, it's not going to be one going to the grand final. So if Essendon are likely to miss the eight late next season, does Joe say, you know what, this is enough for me? I'm not going to be here the next year.
In American sports.
It happens quite regularly in America.
So Lockie Henderson at Carlton, and I think Gillon McLachlan was upset by that, but it's just real life.
Are we ready for this? Are the fans ready for this to become the new black, if you like? I'm not sure we are, but at the end of the day, this has got to be a real discussion. It's a commercial decision for these players now, not just the clubs. So are we ready for that? Do you think we could see a Joe Danaher do that at, say, round 17, 18 next year?
I think we can. And the reality is, while the money continues to increase and it's more and more money, the players have got to consider their futures. And if it is going to cost them a huge, a life-changing deal, they might sit out. We know clubs are always prepared to, if they can't make the finals, Ralphie, they're happy to put someone in for surgery to get ready for the next season. So why can't a player, for his own benefit, maybe sit out some period of time?
And get his body absolutely right.
Yeah.
Ready to go for a full pre-season going into 2021. We know he's only played 4 and 7 games the last 2 years. So this is the perfect specimen to sit out for a block of games in the next year, if that were to be the case.
Well, the John Patton story next year at Hawthorn might actually show where that's the case. If John Patton comes out from round one next year and looks $1 million and he's fit and he's ripped and he plays good footy from the start, maybe that is something, King, that then other players will look at and say, geez, he made a big call for his own future, but now look at the benefits that he's got at Hawthorn.
So he potentially passed up the chance at a premiership, John Patton. Round 22, we know that Jeremy Cameron was unfit. I think another one of their tools missed. And he wasn't in the window. You know, if he comes out and kicks 4 then, maybe he steals Elliot Himmelberg's spot or Finlayson. Mm. And yet he was looking for his long-term future, and you can't, criticise.
Begrudge someone for that, no.
Yeah. I want to ask you about Tom Papley, first of all. We're going to whip around pretty quickly here, but where's that situation at? And can we see it being done tomorrow, Ralphie?
Well, we've always talked about these two deals being together, but all I can say is right now Carlton still have hope. They absolutely feel like they are talking to Sydney, and they feel like that is a positive step. And so they have not given up any hope of dragging Tom Papley out. They'd probably just have to give pick 9, but I think Carlton feels like it can get done.
What about Jack Martin? Will he get done? Will that be done for... He'll be a blue...
Absolute certainty. So
yeah, 100%.
Gold Coast still wants a first rounder, and Carlton's first rounder give a second rounder back. So it'll get done. It's just whether they get the first rounder they want.
Jack Stephen, are we going to finally get this pick sorted out,
yeah,
John?
Yeah, he's effectively a Geelong player now. I think he'll be pick 57 now, and St Kilda will be happy to get him to a good home.
And they got 57 from Zach Smith going to Gold Coast Suns.
That's are we happy with that deal? Do you think that's a fair enough trade negotiation for the Saints to give away Jack Stephen, a 4-time best and fairest?
He's won 4 best and fairest for him. You know, that they very much care about his mental health. You can't say we care about your mental health, but we're going to hold you to some ridiculous steal. So I think we would all feel like that they've done the right thing.
It's a steal for the Cats. I mean, I think if Jack Stephen gets to Geelong, he'll be motivated. He'll want to impress at a new club, get himself in as best physical shape as he can. Hopefully his mental state is in a really good place. And, I mean, that could be a bargain for Geelong, who are still, let's be honest, having one last crack at a premiership. While Ablett's playing, Harry Taylor's playing, still got Dangerfield, Selwood, Hawkins, etc. This is their opportunity to try and win that elusive flag.
Could be the Paddy Dangerfield effect. Paddy's down at Moggs Creek. He's building a house. He's loving life. You know, if this bloke even lives down in Colac or goes down there, maybe that might set him free.
What about Zach Jones, Tommy? Will he end up a Saner?
Yeah, he will tomorrow. I was told it could even be done this afternoon, but it hasn't been done this afternoon. And I think Zach Jones, the deal is heavily dependent, Ralphie, on Josh Bruce. So if Josh Bruce can get to the Dogs and the Saints can get a pick back, then that can go to the Swans for Zach Jones. But the problem is that pick 32 is probably a bit low for the Swans. They'd like something a little bit higher than that. So it's about how the Saints shuffle those picks around, but I'm very confident he'll be a Saint by the end of tomorrow.
Where do you sit with Josh Bruce? What's he worth, Josh Bruce? Because this is a real grey area.
The Dogs said to the Saints, we're not giving up pick 13 for Josh Bruce. And the Saints sort of haggled for a bit and they said, you know what, that's understandable. We're going to have a look at what other deals we can do. We're going to explore other options, which they're doing. But the problem with the Dogs is they want Josh Bruce and they want Alex Keith, but they also want to keep pick 13. And they also want Alex Keith to come in that doesn't have anything to do with pick 13, but the Crows want pick 13. Yeah. So it's very difficult for them to see it getting done. I think Josh Bruce will get done in the end.
What for? What pick?
Well, they're going to have to bundle some later picks, aren't they? It's not going to be players involved. Keith is a really interesting one. The longer it goes on, the more I'm thinking the Crows is going to hold firm and somehow call a bluff, which is a really, really big call for them to make if they do that.
He's not contracted.
He's
so
not contracted.
He could get through maybe to the Bulldogs. That, you know, that'd be problematic in the preseason draft. Yeah. But they're at loggerheads. That's more complicated, isn't it?
The Dogs and the Crows are at loggerheads about Keith, and that's a really big situation.
Okay, so you're saying Bruce will be a Bulldog next year?
Yes.
And Alex Keith, will he be a Bulldog next year?
I think he's likely to be, but I don't think it's at all certain. They're a long way apart still, and this is 25 hours out from the trade deadline.
What about Tommy Cutler? Where's he?
He will get to the Essendon Football Club. His old man has been sick. Brisbane would love to keep him, but they are aware of the fact he's going to come back to Essendon. Long-kicking wingman who played a great 2018 season. So I'm not sure of the pick, but goodwill to get it done on both sides.
All right, finish off the same way as we started. Will Joe Danaher get done, Ralphie?
Nope.
I've got no idea. How do you know
what age you said yes, so you've pulled yourself back.
Well, I'm stuck with a yes, but really, we're all guessing.
Yeah, I know.
Is Mick Gatto available?
I'm not ringing Mick. You can ring
it's expensive. We are on tomorrow night from 6 p.m. till 8:30 p.m. It's 2.5 hours of trade bonanza. It's going to be a ripper. Ralphie, Joey, we're going to have Drew Jones and also Kingy here. And you'll be with us as well because it's going to be the night of the year here on Fox Footy's Trading Day.
This has been a Fox Sports production.